Welcome back to the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. At the end of the last podcast in Guatemala, I had mentioned we were going to talk a little bit more specifically about the kinds of coffee we look for when sourcing. We're actually going to put a pause on that. We'll hit that topic in 2 weeks. Before we do that, we are going to highlight a particular origin country. And we're not just doing this on the podcast. Stone Creek Coffee is actually doing this across the company in our retail cafes, on our website, our social media, is all centering around this one particular country because we have currently just a load of awesome fresh crop coffee in the springtime, which is kind of rare. But from this particular country, you can score it, and we just want to take a little bit of time to celebrate the relationships and the coffee we're sourcing from Colombia. Christian, being our director of coffee and green coffee sourcer and source of much wisdom, is going to help walk us through Colombia.
Yeah, Colombia is a pretty cool place, and I have visited a few times. I'm excited to go back in a couple months. It seems like I'm never here anymore. I was just gone for a month. So Colombia is the third largest coffee producer in the world, and in the 2015 calendar year, according to ICO, they produced about 13,500,000 60 kilo bags. So if you do the math, that's a lot of coffee. It's a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
A 60 kilo bag weighs about as much as I do. So if you imagine carrying around 13 million of me, 13.5 million of me. And Colombia has a very unique position in the coffee world, as it has a lot of altitude. It has three individual mountain ranges in the Andes Mountains running along it. And it's the size of Texas. So you really have a lot of really, really awesome growing area for coffee. And that's why you can find such unique profiles. You can find a diversity of different types of coffees, different acidities, different bodies, and segue.
Uh-huh. So you mentioned world production, number three. They grow a buttload of coffee. How much of that is actually specialty grade, though?
So I was reviewing Michael Sheridan, the Catholic Relief Services infographic, and if you're not familiar with that, maybe we should post a link to it. Very, very good information. A lot of studies being done in Colombia producers. According to that infographic, only 2% of all coffee out of Colombia right now is actually being sold at specialty grade, which means roasters are paying a premium or importers are paying a premium for that coffee. That doesn't mean that only 2% of coffee grown in Colombia is specialty grade. That means only 2% of producers are actually receiving premiums for their high-quality coffee. And Colombia is super unique because you often don't see microlots out of Colombia, or if you do, it's really hard to find them. You have to find the right exporter or the right cooperative to work with in order to actually get these microlots, because each producer is very, very small. I think on average, according to that infographic, it's like 15 to 20 hectares doing maybe 20 to 40 bags of coffee a year. So very, very small producers, and they live in very remote parts of the mountain. So it's very hard for them to get their coffee to somewhere, and also very hard for them to negotiate directly with a roaster. Mm-hmm. It's also very hard for a roaster to get there to negotiate. So you almost need someone to help find those people, which we have.
Right.
We have some amazing people that we work with in Colombia.
And in a very similar way that we work in some other countries. And you see this sort of method of sourcing popping up more and more, as Christian said. These tiny farmers can't really market their coffee themselves. They have no way of really reaching us and saying, hey, come buy our coffee. We've got good stuff. So there are great organizations that put farmers in touch with roasters to help really bring about farm-to-cup sourcing where it would otherwise be impossible.
We call them exporters, but they don't really function like exporters. They're more like consultants and advocates for the small producer, and what they'll do is they'll go around to all of these smaller cooperatives, and in Colombia there are a lot of smaller cooperatives and warehouses because you have to put your coffee somewhere, and often it's too wet or you don't have the right storage that remote into the mountains. And they'll go through and they'll cup and they'll find these amazing coffees and then trace it back to the producer and say, hey, I want to showcase your coffee. And they'll give you any kind of information that you're looking for. We work with two really amazing groups in Colombia right now. We work with Azahar Coffee, and Tyler Youngblood is an awesome, awesome guy. I went there for about about a week and a half last time. We cupped for 3 days straight and then went out to go see a handful of the producers. And then we also work with Caravella and Viramax Exporters. And those guys have the ability to do a lot of coffee really well and give us really good transparency all the way back to the cooperative group and the farm.
So how did those organizations help you reach the particular farmers and co-ops we work with in Colombia?
Not every roaster is going to approach it this way. But what we do is we go and we cup the coffee first. We go through, we taste a bunch of coffees, and we find the cup profile that we look like. And next week we'll talk about sweet, clean, and juicy. That's kind of the cup profile we look for. And then based on what we're tasting, we're like, hey, let's learn a little bit about that farmer, about what they're doing that makes their coffee special. And then we'll go visit, meet them, see their farm, see the mill, understand what they're doing with processing or picking that's different, and that'll really give us an opportunity to build that relationship. And based off of that, we may choose to have just a one-term year relationship. More often than not, we love that coffee so much that we'll go back to it year after year and really feature it in our line.
So let's pull back a little bit more to what is unique about the country itself in terms of producing coffee. You see in a lot of specialty roasters these names following the Colombia title on a bag, like Huila and Tolima, and those are actually specific regions within Colombia, producing regions, is that correct?
They are departments.
So explain the region/department dynamic and highlight for us some of the more prominent ones in terms of specialty coffee.
Sure. So departments are just kind of what we would call states in the United States. So whereas you have Wisconsin and Texas and California, you have Huila, Tolima, Nariño, Cundinamarca. And a handful of these are very prominent coffee areas. And they're so prominent due to their altitude and microclimate. And every single region has a slightly different microclimate. In fact, some place like Huila actually has a different north and south climate. And I've only been to the south. I'm excited to go see the north next time. And they all have slightly different harvest cycles, which is rare. It's super rare because you can find fresh coffee in Colombia the entire year. And it's the oddest thing when you're at origin and you are in the middle of a harvest cycle. You're walking through a coffee field and you see a whole bunch of green coffee on there. And they're like, yeah, that's going to ripen in 4 months. So they actually, the coffee plants have 2 cycles worth of coffee on them sometimes. There are also regions that have 1 harvest early in the year and no harvest later in the year. And then there are regions that have a harvest later in the year and not earlier in the year. Super unique, and it's due to the way that the Andes Mountains are kind of lined up and the way that the Pacific Current and the airflow goes over the mountains. And you have really, really unique microclimates. And each area, it's really hard to pinpoint a specific characteristic because there's so many different microclimates around there. Because you might have 1 harvest cycle on one side of the mountain and another harvest cycle on the other side of the mountain. It is really complex.
Before we get back to the department thing, based on what you just said, is there any way to sort of generalize a Colombian cup profile?
In general, I would say Colombia tends to be a higher acidity coffee. Usually heavy on the malic acidity, sometimes heavier on the lactic acidity. Part of that is due to altitude, part of that's due to soil, and another part of that is due to the way that they process the coffee. They ferment it for a little bit longer than they do in Central America, and that can usually give a little bit of a bigger profile. Usually see pretty bright citrus fruits in the coffee, sometimes some apple-like acidity. It tends to be a little bigger body. I think Colombia coffees can be really accessible, but they can also be really, really dynamic.
I had a guy ask me the other day how our current line of Colombian coffees compared to Folger's Colombian. And so it was a good opportunity to explain how coffee is sourced and the differences between big box coffee producers and roasters, but that, as we talk about people just making sort of their first strides into specialty coffee, that can be confusing because they could equate something that we produce with the name Columbia on the bag to Folgers, which has very proudly said Columbia or Colombian roast for a really long time. And what I had to explain was that Colombian roast is not a thing. Like, Colombian roasting methodology has never existed, but it's merely saying that this is a roast of coffee that comes from Colombia generally. It's really a marketing term in terms of Folgers. For us, it's just showing the transparency of where we sourced it.
Given all that I've seen in the specialty coffee world, the coffee you're probably getting in that Colombia is probably from the lower tier of coffee, probably not the lowest grade of coffee you buy from Colombia. It's still Arabica, but it's not as good or dynamic as the coffee that we're sourcing. And so the flavor profiles are naturally going to be different, as a lot of the lower grades of coffee actually taste very similar regardless of what country you source it from.
So back then to the particular regions that we operate in and have sourced from and that you see from other specialty coffee roasters, walk us through these names like Huila and Tolima. What kind of cups do you normally get? Are there some that are better than others? I mean, when we talk about Guatemala, it's always Antigua or Huehuetenango or Atitlan to some degree that are kind of famous for producing high class or high-end coffee. What about Colombia?
Yeah, as I said before, it kind of varies by microclimate, but I'll try to generalize as much as I can. So Huila, to me, tends to be slightly bigger body, more on this ground or grapefruit-type acidity, but a little less than some other regions. Tolima and, I would say, Cauca, which is another pretty predominant region, tend to be a little more malic, apple, stone fruit, I would say a little more round in terms of body. My favorite region right now is Nariño, and Nariño is very, very remote. It's a place that I tried to go to back in May, but we weren't able to land the plane there, so we had to go back from where we came from, which is not fun. And it's very, very high altitude. We're talking probably a minimum of 1,900 meters above sea level, all the way up to 22 or 23 meters above sea level. Volcanic soil, and you have very, very dynamic and acidic profiles, but really accessible. So you get this really exotic, like passion fruit and grapefruit and citrus, and oh, they're so good. They're so good this year.
The coffees that we have currently, Bone Shaker version 6, Colombia San Javier, we're releasing a Colombia box set of three different lots of, or three different micro lots, which is super cool. Where are all those coffees from in terms of region or department?
No, the Las Lunas, the Bone Shaker is from Nariño, as is was the Las Lunas that we just stopped having in our line. The San Javier is from Huila. It's from Santa Maria. And the box set is from a department called Quindío. And that is kind of in the center of the coffee-growing regions. In fact, there is a coffee-growing national park in Armenia, which is pretty cool. And interesting microregion as well. It's kind of it's right next to Tolima. It's kind of a similar growing region. Doesn't produce as much specialty, so that's why it's kind of fun to feature this coffee.
We're doing this field report on Colombia, featuring three different lots from one producer. Explain the whole thought process and goal of this particular product.
So the overview is to kind of give people a general picture of what Colombia coffee looks like. What are the growing regions? What are the harvest cycles? What are the varieties that make Colombia coffee special? And then we're featuring one farm, three different lots from Quindío. It's a farm called El Verjel. And it's a really special farm. When we visited, or when I visited this coffee, we cupped it, and it just really, really sang on the cupping table. And when we learned more about it, it was a farm that had been relatively abandoned. Danilo is the producer, and he bought the farm from his uncle-in-law. And when he got there, it was like, had been grown over. They were actually taking machetes and making new paths through the entire farm. But what was cool is that it was left remote, which means that there were a ton of varieties there that hadn't been touched for 25 or 30 years. And as you're walking around, you're like, oh, this Colombia tastes good. Oh, this Castillo tastes good. Wait, what is that? That's a Bourbon. That's a Tipica. Keep those, Danilo. Keep those. And Tyler and I and Jason, the cupper down there, like, you need to keep these. You need to grow more of these because they really, really, in that microclimate, they just tasted amazing. And so what we have are three different lots from three different parts of the farm. Lot 1, Lot 2, Lot 3, they represent the three areas of the farm where the coffee is grown. And each area of the farm is a slightly different composition of varieties and a slightly different microclimate.
So if somebody comes in and picks this up off our shelf, what is the learning goal for them? Like, what are you hoping they take with them or pick up through this experience?
So what I'd like them to do is... So the first thing we hope to accomplish is to show people that Colombia isn't a roast. It's not just a guy with a donkey, you know, bringing his coffee in, that there's tons of different variety. And this kind of will help the customer understand as we get more and more coffees, where are these coffees coming from, what makes them special. And then also featuring this one farm, you can show that even within one farm in Colombia, you have such diversity and such different cup characteristics that even within this one farm, you have kind of a diversity of flavors and profiles.
In our last case study, we talked about the effects of terroir on coffee. And I think that in Colombia, maybe more than anywhere else, the terroir varies so drastically that, as we point out in this particular field report, coffee from one producer of three different lots can taste really drastically different. And just shows that there's a lot that country can offer and will offer as it becomes, I think, more prominent in the specialty industry, because thus far it may have taken a back seat, and it took a back seat even for us as we began to get deeper and deeper into farm-to-cup sourcing of specialty coffee.
Yeah, and I think it's important for a lot of roasters now to understand the transparency and understand where their coffee is coming from. Not to have anything bad against importers, but for a long time, it was like, oh, you have your regional Nariño blend, you have your regional Antioquia blend, you have your regional Tolima blend. And you're like, okay, so what do I know about this coffee? Where is it coming from? Who are the producers behind it? And people who allow you to get a little bit closer, for one, it's a marketing ability because you can share more about that coffee. But two, you can start to isolate really, really specific cup profiles that you as a company like. And it gives you the ability to build relationships long term, so you can not only have this coffee this year, but for many years to come. Drew and a bunch of our baristas were just at the barista competition, and something that I noticed, and maybe you can have an overall statement or not, is that Colombia seemed really sexy this year.
Yeah.
A lot of people had Colombia microlots. In fact, I saw folks like Michael Sheridan on Twitter, like, highlighting people that were using his coffees from Nariño, and our competitor used a coffee from Colombia. I don't know if you noticed anything specific about why baristas were using these coffees and what their stories behind them were, but it's really kind of strange that in any given year, one origin seems to be way more popular, and this year was Colombia.
Yeah, and I think it's because for the regional competition, it was so late in the year. Most of the time it's in the fall, generally speaking. And I called it regional. It was actually a qualifying competition. So if it would have happened in the fall, all of the coffee that would have been harvested last spring would still be relatively fresh and would perform well. Now we're in the next harvesting season already, so you need fresh crop coffee. And you don't need it, but it's just generally a good thing to have. And so I think people were getting those from their importing partners, from their roasting partners, to exhibit on the barista stage. One thing I will point out is in a lot of barista competitions, you normally hear how a barista goes to origin, they've met the farmer, they've worked with them, they've seen the picking, all that. You didn't hear that this year with Colombia, and I think it ties back into what Christian mentioned about sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to travel in Colombia. The partners aren't quite as easily accessible as in some other countries.
There might be gangs hanging out near the farms where you want to go visit, so you can't go visit them.
A crack is a thing.
Yeah.
So it did impact the barista competition even, but it was also cool to see something that hasn't been as popular or as sexy in barista competitions come to the forefront purely because of that unique harvest cycle. So as we said, we're currently offering the Colombia San Javier. We actually just turned off a lab series coffee called Colombia Mambuco, which was awesome. So hopefully you got to taste that. We have Bone Shaker version 6, which is a little bit more developed roast profile on the lab we ran called Colombia Las Lunas, which is from Nariño. And then this Thursday, we are launching this new box set, calling it a field report from
El Vergel and Quindío.
And we're going to offer each of the coffees in those as individual lab series coffees, so you can definitely just try one of them if you so wish. And we'll have those available in our cafes and online. You can pick those up this Thursday. So in 2 weeks, I promise we're going to hit the topic that I mentioned in our last episode, that we're going to talk about what kind of coffee we're looking for when we source. We'll be joined again by our co-owner, Eric, to talk about coffee in a sweet, clean, and juicy form. Catch ya in 2 weeks. We are geeks.
And we are talking coffee.